Hey, all you shredders out there. This is Stacey Catmull, and I'm coming to you live today from the Shred Studio. I'm really, really excited to be a guest host today on Shred, and I'm going to be bringing you a segment every single week on Wednesday, and it's called Women Crush Wednesday. It's just a way for us to get all of the women out there who are crushing it in front of the Shred audience and to be able to recognize and see what women in the industry are doing. So my very first guest on my Women Crush Wednesday show is Karina Carter. I'm really excited to have her. She is from Virginia, Fredericksburg, Virginia. She's been in the industry for 23 years and she's owned her own brokerage for the last 15 years. What else do we need to know about you, Karina?
Stacey, that's a lot right there, right? So I have been in the mortgage industry for 23 years and 2020 will be my 15th year anniversary. We run a shop out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. I have 28 loan officers. And my son helps me run the operations. My daughter helps with accounting. We have two great processors here who are sisters. So we are a family business and growing.
That is so awesome. So Karina, tell us a little bit, how did you get into the mortgage industry? And then how did you get to where you are now? Just give us a brief story, a brief timeline.
I'm going to give you as short as I can because I love this story.
I love that you love it. That's awesome.
I moved from Fredericksburg to Virginia Beach. It's a 2-hour drive. I moved down here without a job, did timeshare for a year down at the beach. I was doing really, really good, making good money. And my nephew, unfortunately, got some bad news at 4 years old, and he came down with leukemia.
Oh, wow.
And my boss would not let me leave the office to go with my family. So he told me if I walked out that door, never come back.
Oh, and wow.
So I walked out that door. I never went back. And 2 weeks later, I was looking for a job. My girlfriend called me, who was working with me then, said, I know a guy who needs someone to help him in mortgages. I said, I don't even know how to spell mortgages. What the hell do I do? You know, what do I do? So needless to say, fast forward, you know, 8 years later, I'm owning my own company.
That's amazing.
In between that time, worked at a couple different companies, was a branch manager, and learned really the difference of brokering and what I decided that I liked to do. And I really like brokering loans. So setting up with different investors, being able to offer different programs and products to each one. So I decided, hey, this is what I'm going to do. So fast forward 8 years later, I kept trucking and I learned everything that I could, went to every conference I could, and went to every training that I could. And I still do today. So,
that's awesome.
Now I'm 15 years into owning my own company. And again, we have a lot of family here and we love it.
That's so great. So one of the things that I love, love, love about women in this industry is that they are fighters, right? Everybody kind of has a story about how they got in the industry. And it was usually followed by something like going really horrible in their life to begin with. And so then they just got into mortgage and then they just kind of fought and clawed and did everything that they needed to do in order to get to where they are now. I love that about mortgage women. So tell me, what do you think was the key for you to be able to catapult yourself from a lady who didn't know anything about mortgages to 8 years later owning your own business?
Well, one of the things we did when I first started, and I would call it, I was a Girl Friday. I was actually that person that went to the courthouse and looked up notes and said, hey, this note is over 7.5% when we used to record them. Oh, he wow. could be a good refi, and I take that back. So we worked and stayed late and was able to do everybody's work. And about 9 months in, we were like, wait a minute, we're doing everybody's work. We should be getting paid for this. So we went to the boss and he literally told us, even at our first shop, well, we have two women on staff that are loan officers. I think, okay. And the rest were men and they had about 50 loan officers. So we're like, okay, if you give us a shot, give us 3 months, we're going to come up with this X, Y, Z. And on the third month, we both hit a certain percentage and a certain dollar amount that we brought home and we never looked back. So really, when you say fighting and clawing, it kind of has been a different process, I do believe, because mm-hmm. I do feel like I was interviewed differently as well too when I wanted to become a branch manager.
Oh, interesting. Tell us about that.
So my experience with that was what gave me the right to apply to be a branch manager and to then start hiring people and what was my experience? Then I looked at my counterparts who were in my area, similar companies or with the same company. And I was like, they don't even have as much experience as I do. And I thought I went through a brutal process of getting hired. So at that point in time, I decided, okay, this isn't going to be long lasting. I think I need to do my own. And that's awesome. What I did.
So So tell me, like, okay, so you guys have 28 loan officers now. You have an operation that's up and running. What has helped you to build your own brokerage? I mean, like, I just want to know everything, right? How are you bringing in loan officers? You know, how are you managing people? Do you work with new loan officers? Do you work with, you know, seasoned loan officers? Just tell me about your brokerage and how it works.
Okay. Well, we do work with new loan officers. So I do not mind that at all because I have been an NMLS provider for 10 years too, which we haven't talked about. So I've been doing continuing education. So when the mortgage crashed in 2009, I created my own course to be able to go out there and teach people how to do what we do. Okay. So then I met tons of people all over the country and mostly my area, Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland. So I got to know other loan officers too as well. Then I got to be more reputable in that arena as far as teaching. Right. Then I stopped teaching and only did continuing education in the fall. So that kept me in front of my peers as well too. And it kept me to be, I guess you could say, established or respected to say, right, okay, she knows what she's talking about. So I've never cross-recruited out of my classes. So that wasn't something that I did, but it just puts me out in my area saying, okay, she's a teacher, she's a trainer, go to her. I've trained CEO's assistants. I've did other things with my peers. So also I'm not inferior to them. They let me come in. They let me talk to their people. So putting that out there, we work with newbies. We work with experienced loan officers, and we're not afraid to bring people on and teach them the business and let them go open their own shop too.
Okay. So you're a full service shop.
We're a full service shop. Absolutely. So that's what we like to do. Now, not everybody's tended to run a business themselves. So most of them come on board and they stay with me.
Right. Yeah. Not everybody wants to do what you're doing. That's for
and
sure.
It's not that they can't. It's just, I mean, who wants to do what we do on a daily basis? Accounting and MLS reporting, compliance,
right?
Calling 5 listing agents, you know. Who else wants to do that? So
I don't want to do it. So I want to go back to new loan officers. So, because we probably have some new loan officers who are in the group, right? And then we also have people who are trying to build new loan officers. So when new loan officers come into your company, what is the first thing you tell them to do to go out and build business?
Education. So going out and trying to teach agents what products are out there. And also harp on the products that most loan officers don't want to teach. Renovation loans, non-QM loans, any other type of program, reverse mortgages. So I've been experienced, we do all that. We have a processor who is just dedicated for non-QM and renovation.
Okay.
So in that instance, I tell them, here's what you want to do, is you want to go out and share your knowledge of what your company has, that we have your back. And you don't have to know everything. You just have to know exactly program guidelines and kind of fit and do the pre-qualification status with your client. And then your back-end support is going to take you home the rest of the way.
Okay.
So most of them get indoors because they're talking about programs and products that us old school loan officers don't want to talk about.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So you're kind of saying, you know, choose a niche, find a niche, something that nobody else is doing. Because honestly, I mean, I don't really want to do renovation loans and I don't really know how to do reverse mortgages, right? But if I was an expert in renovation loans, I guarantee you I could get in with a lot of realtors, especially right now in our economy.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot of homes that just, they need some renovation, right? In order to be able to be active in the market. So tell me, I love hearing about your brokerage. Tell me, I want to know, like, in the industry, you've been in the industry for 23 years now. What is the biggest, like, your most, like, that one challenge that you had to overcome and you did? And how did you do it?
Okay, well, I think I'm going to go with what I shared with you a little bit personally is the grandma card.
Okay.
Because I love that story. And also it just gives me chills because a lot of people don't realize I'm a grandma. I have a 15-year-old and soon to be 4-year-old. So they keep me very busy. I started at a young age, but being in the mortgage industry for 23 years, even 8 years in or 10 years in, you go and say, okay, I want to be experienced. So I want to say I'm 10 years in, but you're really 8. Then you want to say I'm 12 years in, but you're really 10.
Yeah.
So you kind of do that thing to start. Right. Mm-hmm. But then once you get to that 10 and 12 years, hey, I've been owning my own shop for 4 years. I'm sitting in a room with 98% men, most of them older than me at that time. And I was 38 to 42 and they don't listen to anything I say. And then one time I was at a networking event with mostly all white older male bankers, and they're like talking shop, and I'm just sitting there like looking goofy. And then I go, okay, oh my gosh, it's my grandson. I may have to pick him up from daycare. And they're like, grandma, your grandma? And every dude started talking to me.
Really? Isn't that interesting?
So after that, in my classes, everything else I do, I open up most of my classes. I open up to most of my clients in my interviews, even my people I hire, anybody else. Most of the time I pull the grandma card and I talk about being a grandma. And it demanded respect, because if you think of the word grandma, they say, okay, who's your grandma? Your grandma was your most respect level that you think you could think of. So yeah. I don't know, but it's odd. It worked for me because I was talking to one of my friends one time and saying, do I got to wear a flower dress and a little bonnet hat or something like that to get some respect in this industry? Because, you know, back then, about 15 years ago, there wasn't many of us, especially not owning our own shop.
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
So then a couple of years in, after I became a grandma, I had to use that word. And I was like, oh, God, this works. So overcoming being the only woman in the room has been a lot to me. And it took me almost probably 12 years in, if not 14 of my 23 years, to figure out where that balance was. And now that's 23 really years in, you want to go back and say I'm only 15 because now everybody knows how old I am.
No, I think that as women, so I hear this a lot, right? I love the women in this industry. I think they're so amazing. But you know what? I also think that the guys are really great in the industry too. Sure. Like, we all have our own thing that we need to bring. And I think that in like corporate America or whatever it is, there's so many women who are out there who are just trying to be men, you know? And yeah. I think that, like, that's why I love the grandma card. Like, whoever you are, like, own that, you know? Yeah. And if you're a woman, then use those, you know, those natural abilities and talents and things that you have to, you know, to help you in situations and to help you overcome things. I think that it's brilliant. I think it's wonderful that people know that you're a grandma and that they respect that and that you're really proud of that, because it's an amazing thing. Yeah, for sure.
And it helps as far as talking to someone on a level that they want to listen and respect you on. Now I don't have as much of a problem than I did 15 or that's because it's 23 years later, you know, yeah. But it is different when you're halfway through your career. How do you gain that respect that you want in a mostly male dominated industry?
Right. Exactly. So tell me, we've just been friends for just a few weeks on social media, but your social media always just stands out to me because I think you do a really good job of combining your personal life with your business life and then just really being authentic and showing your personality. And for those of us who were at the AIM conference, you know, the last month, Gary Vee sat up there and told us either you're on social media or your business is dead. So I think there's a lot of us out there who are trying to figure out the social media thing and put ourselves out there. So do you have a strategy behind your social media, or are you just like, you know what? I am who I am. This is what I do.
I actually don't, but I do love the fact that because I do work with family, that I do have to post about family. Mm-hmm. So I don't really hide that feature, like saying, hey, this is what we do. And it's not always rosy here at the office, but I do like that balance. So I think social media, by giving some of the family information, by giving some of the actual work information, it also, for some reason, creates some balance up here to me.
Right.
Because I don't really have a whole lot of separation from work and home. And we could talk about that later. And yeah. That's a tough spot. So on social media, it kind of gives me that balance that I'm not looking for. And that may be something just that I go through, that because that's how I do. So I don't think it's really a strategy. I think for me, it's just a personal preference that, I like talking about both. I give it like a little happy medium about both. And it makes me feel good, brings me down to like, hey, you know, I love my people here. I love my home here. But at the same time, we live together, we work together. And I say some other things we do together. But, you know, so we have to create a little bit of balance. And social media just gives me that. And I'm getting better at it. I'm trying to get better about talking. Everybody says, give us more information about work. Give us more information about work. So I'm trying to do better about that. So no strategy for real.
Well, one of the things that I love about your social media is that you always come off as very happy and very energetic. And I think that that's really, I think that that in and of itself is really important in social media. Sometimes, you know, we're getting on there and we're doing videos or doing whatever it is, and we're so nervous and we're so scared, but just putting a smile on your face and just being yourself. I just really like your authenticity on social media. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. I don't have that energy every single day, but I try. I mean, my whole office is word art. So if you ever come here, see, we've got it. So there's no way you can walk in the door to our office and not have a positive attitude. Now, do we have our trying times? Yes. Are we not that fake social media family out there? No, because I mean, I want to put it out there that nobody's perfect, you know, right. And we're not perfect, but I do want to create that balance between the two. So that's awesome. I appreciate you watching.
Yes, for sure. So last thing before we wrap up, I just, you know, out of your 23 years of experience, what is one tip that you want to leave with the women in our audience today?
Never say never, right? And then my whole thing is whatever tools you can put in your tool belt, go get them. Because the more tools you have, the more you can provide for your clients. So whether it be from products to interest rates to different agents to new hires to old, you know, our oldies in the business, whether it be any of that, just never say never. Just keep moving and, I mean, keep reaching because it's obtainable. I mean, I'll just share real, real quick. I mean, 7 years ago, we were in a slumlord office and we had to catch rats after 2008. Seven years later, we own the building we're in. So don't say never, you know, just keep going. You know, me and my son did a video. I don't know if that's one of the ones you watched, but he talked about, and I was like shocked he remembered where I made him slice legal paper into letter paper. That was real that month. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was real that month. We argued all weekend about him not cutting the damn paper. So that was real. I mean, and then I just looked the other week and we said, 7 years later, we own our home. We own our office. We own our home we work in that we walk into every single day. So never say never and use all the tools you can find.
I love that. That's such an accomplishment. Karina, thank you so much for your time today. It was so fun to get to know you better.
You too, Stacey. I appreciate it. I thank you so much for having me. And I thank you for watching me. It makes me feel so good that someone out there is saying, hey, this grandma's doing okay for herself.
Well, and you know, I want to just kind of make a challenge out there to the women in the industry. Like, pay attention to the other women in your industry, you know, like their posts, comment on it. I just feel like there's so much business out there, right? And we might as well just be supporting one another. And, you know, we can't always support everybody, but we can support the girls in the industry. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. And we will have another segment of Women Crush Wednesday next Wednesday. So I hope you'll join us for that. And if you're interested in being on the Women Crush Wednesday show, then feel free to reach out to me. Thanks.